Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am Zach Mikosh, DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to Nothing But Net Radio. It is 4 p.m. on another beautiful Saturday afternoon here in the Mile High City. If you haven't figured it out already, we are the one and only Denver Nuggets dedicated channel on, or show, I should say, on the Nothing But Net channel on Dash Radio. So we are happy to have you along. Of course, we've got a ton to go through with the draft and then also with the Wilson Chandler news. That is going to eat up all of our time this show, and we'll struggle to get through all of it, because with me today is, of course, the verbose Gordon Gross. Gordon, what's happening?
I love that we're going to start like you would get through it with someone else, but with me, yeah, best of luck to you, my friend. Best of
luck.
There's
no way. There's no way. But we will try. No, I didn't want to mean it as a bad thing, Gordon. I think you always bring great conversation. It's just, we dawdle. There's no doubt about it.
We do. We take circuitous routes to where
exactly,
we're going.
Exactly. I like if we end up like talking about, you know, Marcus Smart's free agency prospects, that would not surprise me. It's not on the rundown, but it would not surprise
me. It's not. But I'm sure I can weave it in somewhere.
There you go. Well, let's not waste any more time, man. Let's try and get right into it. So, of course, the Nuggets, they make a splashy pick. Michael Porter Jr. falls to number 14. The Nuggets take him. Gordon, simplest question. Are you happy with the pick?
I am. Yes. It's such a strange pick because I did not expect it to happen. And he is the riskiest guy in the lottery. But at 14, if the Nuggets had moved up for Michael Porter Jr., I would have probably been upset, because they would have had to give up assets and do other things for this kind of risk. But if he falls into your lap, it's very, very hard to pass on a guy who literally could be the best player in the draft if he stays healthy.
Right.
How do you pass that up? Apparently the other guy they were looking at was Jair Smith. Mm-hmm. and that's great. He's a really good player. But has a more limited role, right, on this kind of team. Whereas the sky is the limit for Porter Jr. with the playing next to Jokic and having a pair of guards who can do their business, and, you know, even in the beginning of his career, starting off with Millsap, like, there is it's very hard to find a better situation for Michael than this one.
Right.
And I'm hoping that he's able to take advantage of it, because if he can, man, he could be so great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you 100% on it. I'm happy with the pick, because here's the thing. I remember I was saying this amongst the writers right before Miles Bridges goes off the board at 12. At that time, I was still a little on the fence, because I was like, well, if Miles Bridges is there, you know that guy fits kind of perfectly, and there's no health issues. Granted, he doesn't have the ceiling that Michael Porter Jr. does, but he was a safer pick, and I was like, and he'd still be a
higher
pick.
Floor. Yeah.
And a much higher floor. So I felt good about that. But when he goes off the board at 12, you know, Mikal Bridges, of course, goes off at 10. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was off at, 11? You know, suddenly there wasn't a ton of options there. So it really did come down to Porter or Smith. And just like you said, Smith's a nice player, but he's not a guy who's going to – you look at it and you're like, man, if that guy works out, like, suddenly – you know, we've got ourselves maybe the best player on the team or second best player on the team. You know, he's a guy who you look at as like, okay, he'll be a role player. You know, he'll probably work well with Jokic, a good guy. He'll be able to finish above the rim for them, you know, be able to get out on the fast break and whatnot. But that was just it. It's not, you didn't look at him and be like, man, this guy could be the guy that we give the ball to every single time down in a playoff game, you know, and he'll be the one to get his bucket.
Role player.
Yeah.
I expected at 14, I would always expect to get a role player. It's very hard to expect to get a star. Sometimes you luck into
Donovan Mitchell.
You know, stars at the end of the lottery or whatever. You know, sometimes you run into Giannis and you're like, woo.
Right.
You know, but it's hard. It's not the most common thing to happen. It needs a deep draft usually. It needs some concerns from other teams. And this draft had both of those things. You know, people were concerned about his back issue. You know, people were concerned about his, motivation.
Right.
He said everything right when he got drafted. I don't know if he'd practiced his speech like in front of a mirror, but he was like, I am going to the right team. I like unselfish play. I just want to fit in. I'm really grateful to be here. I love Denver. Denver is the greatest. Right. He was prepped, and maybe he's too prepped, but honestly, he said everything right. It's hard to fault somebody for rolling in the door on day one and just looking happy to be here, want to help the team out. Basketball's easy for me, so let's go get healthy. Right.
Yeah, and that was my takeaway from that introductory press conference as well, was like, wow, that is like you couldn't be any more perfect with what he said. Now, what is that? I'm trying to draw back a name of an old TV character who used to do that, and everybody said he's like it's Eddie something, but never mind. You're right. Maybe he was just prepped for it. Maybe it's all smoke, but like, who cares? Like,
right now, it's good smoke, man. Day one, it's
right,
good smoke.
Exactly. Like, I mean, what?
Robert Williams couldn't show up for his own phone interview, so.
so he's still ahead of him. And to me, like, the whole thing is just like, you know, it's too early to try and read into something one guy says. And the other thing, too, is a guy can be selfish, a guy can be about him, and still be a great basketball player. Like, it's not a great example to bring up, but we know Carmelo Anthony is all about Carmelo Anthony. He played a lot of really good basketball in Denver, you know, so.
Well, and honestly, that's the level of player that I would expect Porter to be. Like a Carmelo Anthony, once in a generation scorer kind of player. And then you find out whether he can buy into the team concept in a way that Melo never did. Right. But he's not starting off as a savior of the team. Like Porter isn't coming in here being like, see, you guys were the worst team in the league last year, like he was in Denver, right. But I am going to make you great. Everything I do will be perfect. That's not how this is going to go. Denver won 46 games and should have been a playoff team, which would have won 50 games with a healthy Millsap. Like, this team is legit now. There are people here, young players who are established. And Porter, interestingly, may never be the best player on this team, depending on how you feel about Jokic.
Right.
So if that's the case, if he can take being part of a big three with, let's say, him, Murray, and Jokic, and be fine with that, they have the chance to do something that a team like Oklahoma City couldn't do when they couldn't keep Harden or they chose not to keep Harden. Where you can build around that in a long-term situation as a big three for your team that you have drafted. Right. It could be spectacular. I mean, when you're looking at a guy, Porter's floor is nothing because Porter's floor is, I can't play because my back is broken.
Right, yep.
But his reasonable floor is Danilo Gallinari, who was terrific when he was healthy.
Right.
You know, not necessarily the best player on a championship squad, but could be the third best player on a championship squad.
And the thing is, too, and his ceiling is like Kevin Durant, right? Like, I mean, his ceiling is ridiculous. Right. So
his ceiling is unbelievably high. Like, you look at it, when you talk about a guy who was talked about as literally the top talent potentially 2 years in a row if healthy, last year and this year, and would be next year.
Right.
Also probably the top talent. Like, he's the guy in these drafts. And now he wasn't Durant level at 18, but it's – you watch him play and it's so easy for him,
man.
He's
got that smoothness to
it. He doesn't lie about the fact that basketball comes easy. Now, I worry when he finally plays guys who are his size, who are his talent level, how he's going to do, because it's never happened. But he played all these guys before. He beat, you know, Ayton. He fought all these guys in all of their elite basketball
right.
camps.
Talked about playing with Jamal
Murray.
And
he was still the best player.
And Jason Tatum, you know, and all these great players. Yeah, no, he's
and he was better than right. Jason Tatum. Like, that's what you're thinking of. Like, is he Jason Tatum? Well, he might be. He and Jason Tatum share similar skill right. sets. I would not be unhappy at all if he turned out to be Jason
yeah,
Tatum.
No doubt.
But when they played each other, he was
right.
better.
Right.
Porter, yeah. I mean. Like, those are the things where the Nuggets need to take as long as it takes to get him healthy, to get him right, to get his biomechanics worked out so he's not doing the Danilo Gallinari galloping stomp that injures himself all the time. Like, you know, these are the times where you hire movement specialists, where you get a guy into elite physiotherapy stuff.
Right.
Like, don't mess around. Like, this is your investment. You saved what? How much does his contract save over? Is it like $12 million a year, $18 million a year, or $18 million
yeah,
total
something like
that
yep.
he lost? Whatever he lost, you know, by not being a top three pick and going to 14, that's fine. Pretend you traded up for him and you were going to pay him that, and go invest $10 million in keeping him healthy. It's important. Go do that. Literally, the most important thing you can do for Porter is to create a base for him to work off of that allows him to be healthy for a decade.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, I mean, that's essentially what they have to do to make it pay off. So I guess let me ask you this: how concerned about his injury are you? Because this, you know, I saw who was it? Was the Injury Insight, which is a great website, did a whole article on his particular injury. And when you read through it, you know, it sounds like okay, this year he's probably not, you know, not going to be. It's going to take him this whole season to get back to full strength. It's not that he is still injured, but that the rehab and recovery from the surgery and the injury in general will take a full year before he's finally back to rebuilt that strength. To me, with the Nuggets, they're in such a perfect position because honestly, if he doesn't play a game, they're still going to compete for the playoffs.
Yep.
So, like, you know, you can take your time. You're not a team like the Kings, who were rumored to even be interested in him as early as Monday. They were rumored to be interested in him taking him second. You know, but the Kings, they need to turn
well,
it around.
Well, according to him, yeah.
You know,
right? Yeah, the Kings are on a huge advanced time schedule. They've been. You can't keep selling your team on 5 years
right.
from now.
Right.
You know, you've got to sell your fan base on now at some point.
Right.
Which is probably why they did not take Porter,
right.
because they couldn't wait the year or two for him to be what they wanted
right. they
him to
be. They
already
did that last year with Harry Giles, so it's like, well.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's very hard. You would think it'd be easier in the process era to go ahead and sell your fan base on the fact they're taking the best player and let him sit out a
right.
year. But it's still a tough sell when you've been as incompetent as the Kings for as long as the Kings have been incompetent.
Right.
But for Porter, like, look, the Nuggets can absolutely sit him the year. Mm-hmm. I do not expect them to.
Either.
I know people do. People on our staff expect right. them to. Adam is on record as saying he expects him to sit out the year. I mean, we're really early in the process, and he got the surgery on his back done way later than he should
right.
have because he thought it was just not as big a deal, and they just wanted to not go the surgery route and see if it would just heal on its own. And that's, by the way, that's not uncommon with back surgeries and back
right.
injuries. When you have an issue with a disc, sometimes the herniations do scar themselves over without you having to go in and do surgery.
Right.
And so there will be times when rest, rehab, stretching, and taking care of your back, all you need to do is hit some steroid shots and just wait, and it will take care of itself. And then sometimes it won't. So it's not necessarily that they were careless with it, but he definitely wanted to wait, play the year, and take his one and done and get into the pro ball. And it didn't work out the way that he wanted. So he played barely any, but you saw him come back. People who questioned his toughness surprised me a little bit in the fact that the guy worked hard to get back onto the court before he should have been on the court. And I don't know why he played at all in college. I would have sat it out and just left my medicals and done my workouts, played against a chair. Like, you know, he'll look fine in a gym at half speed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was – well, I think on that, for him, it was almost – you know, he knew his draft stock was slipping, so he was hoping that if he could get back and have a good tournament – and, of course, Missouri flames out right away. But if he had had a good tournament, you know, maybe that would have put him – I think it would put him back into the – into the conversation for that top pick. So I think maybe I mean that I'm just speculating here, but that's what I'm thinking was his thought process and why he went that direction. But it didn't work out for him, like, you know. It didn't work out for him.
No, it didn't. But well, it worked out for Denver. Denver's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, it's a big swing. Like, it could absolutely miss. He could be nothing. But you know what? So could anybody else at 14. Most picks at 14 are nothing. Like, I don't – people being upset that the Nuggets picked an injured player is weird to me. Most of those people seem to be from New York. I won't lie. On my Twitter feed, it's mostly New Yorkers who are mad at Michael Porter and saying he's a bum now because their team didn't draft him when they were begging in the draft for them to pick him, and they went with Knox instead.
Right. Yeah, no, it – yeah, it's just funny to that, but like, I want to get back to what you were saying there about like how you expect him to play this season, and I agree, because here's the thing, from what I've been reading, and again, I'm no expert. Now, you're way more of an expert than I am, but from what you read about the injury at this point, what seems like it's going to be best for him is to slowly bring him back along to the point where he can get game action, and not a ton of game action, but some, because that's the ultimate. That's what you've got to simulate, right? Like.
Yes, and you can't do it in practice, man. Like, the thing with this is that I would consider this to be not like Joel Embiid missing the year with a foot injury, but this would be Joel Embiid mostly healthy, hasn't played basketball in a year, on a minutes restriction. And so you're looking at won't play back-to-backs, can't play more than, you know, 15 minutes a night to start. Like, he's hard-capped at 25 minutes. You know, you're making sure that he doesn't play three games in four nights. You know, you won't do that. Like, you want Porter to get in the game and play his 10 minutes. You want him to work off the bench. You want him to get back to game speed, because you can't simulate game speed, and you don't want his first game in the NBA to be his first basketball game in 2 years.
Right, yeah, exactly. That you're setting him up for failure.
Yes.
If you do
you
that.
You can't just chuck him in the starting lineup like after not playing basketball for 2 years and wonder what's going to happen to him. You want to work him in. I would expect them to like wait. He won't start the season there. They'll be making sure that, you know, everything is smooth, everything is right. His conditioning is good. I mean, he's playing at altitude anyway. So you can drop him in December. You know, you can maybe January work him out of the small forward spot off the bench. You know, get him some minutes next to Jokic. You can, you know, work him into the flow, get him to understand what's happening with the Nuggets, because I guarantee you he has never played the kind of basketball that the Nuggets play.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, exactly. He's used to being a guy who basically gets the ball in the wing, everybody gets out of the way and let him play.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's used to, I am the ISO player, I am the transition player, I may in fact be the ball handler on the way up because I'm not giving the ball to anybody, because I am as good as all the other players in this court combined, and so people pass me the ball, and it's my job to score. And what he's going to have to understand is moving without the ball, and you know, back cuts and setting screens and being unselfish with the ball, and when he gets the ball, score it. Look, man, the Nuggets need a guy other than Jamal Murray who's willing to look at the clock. There's 3 seconds left. I'm not going to pass this ball. This is my shot. Like, you know, I don't care if there's two guys and I'm falling backwards. You know, don't worry about it. But I would expect the Nuggets to tell him not to dunk. I would expect the Nuggets to tell him, you know, you do layups. Mm-hmm. You can dunk next year.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. I want you to follow the Nikola Jokic example of not dunking.
Exactly. You are not allowed to jump over a newspaper. That's pretty much
exactly. That's where we're at with this. But it should be great. Like, I would expect them to spend the year working him in, because it doesn't hurt them, because their bench was so atrocious last year. That any – like working in Michael Porter Jr. for 10 minutes is still better than whatever they had last year as the option.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So one thing I was looking through in that article that they mentioned, and I'm gonna give you a quick little bit of trivia here. Michael Porter Jr. won the Gatorade Boys Player of the Year his senior year. He won the Naismith Prep Player of the Year his senior year, and he won the McDonald's All-American Game MVP his senior year of high school. Do you know the last two players to do that?
No, I don't.
It last time happened was in 2004 with Dwight Howard, and then it happened
that
the
makes
year
sense.
before that in 2003 with LeBron James. Those are the last two to do it. So,
yep.
That if you're using that as a measure, he's in some elite
when I
company.
Say he was the best high school player, yeah, when I say he was the best high school player for several years, I'm not kidding. Now that doesn't mean he's going to be the best NBA player. Quincy Miller was the number one rated like prospect in high school one
right.
year. Like let's calm down about how much high school translates to the pros.
Right.
And we saw a number of great high school players bomb out in the NBA back when high school players could come directly to the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if high school players could come directly to the NBA, Michael Porter Jr. would have been a top two pick last
right,
year.
Right. Well, so here, let me give you the list of the Gatorade Player of the Year going back to LeBron. So we have Michael Porter Jr. in 2017. Then it was Jason
yep.
Tatum, Ben Simmons, Karl right. Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Bradley Beal, Brandon Knight twice, Drew Holiday, Kevin Love, Greg Oden twice, Dwight Howard, and then LeBron James twice. Every single one of those guys, now some of them got derailed by injuries, which maybe that happens to
right.
Michael Porter Jr., but every single one of those guys is not only an NBA player, but was billed to be a very good NBA player. And many of them, I mean, we're talking about some of the best young talents when you talk about guys like Ben Simmons and Karl Anthony Towns. And then LeBron James, obviously, we know what he did. Dwight Howard, granted, he's fallen off a cliff, but he was amazing, right, for a long time. Kevin Love. I mean, these
yes.
are really, really good players. So for him to be in that company, man, it's exciting. You know, like I said, if he can get right, I think it changes Denver's outlook entirely.
Their ceiling. What happened last night was rather than reinforcing their floor, which is what I expected them
right.
to do, by grabbing a 3-and-D wing or guard, like, you know, somebody who can pass the ball a little, defend,
right.
Hopefully multiple positions, has a little length, you know, looking for some guy maybe off the bench to play 20 minutes. You know, it you're looking in 14 and you're like, well, what can we get to help the players we already have? What can we get to help the core? I wasn't expecting to add to the core.
Right.
And this is one of those add to the core, add to the ceiling kind of moves where if it works, the Nuggets just – you know, threw some jet fuel in their afterburners there, and it they can do incredible things if it
right.
works.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, if it works, I honestly think if it works, they're a team who will compete for finals and will compete for championships, because the thing is, Michael Porter Jr., granted, he's not the defensive stalwart, though he certainly has the physical tools to be at small forward. But granted, he's not that, which I think everybody was looking at, this is the biggest hole you need to fill, right, is your perimeter
right.
defense.
Yep.
But he fills a different hole for the Nuggets that they have that I think that we isn't as exposed yet because they haven't been in the playoffs. But that's you, Nikola Jokic. I don't want to say Nikola's offense is gimmicky because I don't think that's. I think that's underselling what Nikola does. But it's so unique and it runs in such a way that, like, if you can figure out, okay, if you've got 7 games or so to focus on it, like, you can probably figure out a way to take away a lot of what Nikola does, a lot of what people are doing off ball when Nikola has it, to really kind of, you know, mitigate what the Nuggets do on offense. Michael Porter Jr. is the guy you give the ball on the wing and say, get me a bucket, and he will do it for you. There's no defense for that. You know what I mean? There's no defense for Kevin Durant when he wants to score a bucket. There's no defense for any great scorer when he wants to score a bucket and when he's got it going. That's what Michael Porter Jr. gives them, and they're going to need that in the playoffs. They're going to need that guy to carry them and win them games. I don't think they had that guy on their roster before, and now I think they do. So to me, if he's right, if he works out, you're talking about a guy who pretty much makes this team into a team who, when the Warriors are starting to kind of decline and get past their prime, the Nuggets might be the next team to take over and be the next, you know, quote-unquote super team to chase championships.
Well, and honestly, like, when you look at a team like Minnesota, who's going to be a competitor with the Nuggets for
right.
years, the thing that they're missing, they have Andrew Wiggins, who should be
that guy, right?
That guy, but isn't that guy. What you're looking at is trying to get a player who is big enough that he's a mismatch problem, who is a good enough shooter that you have to cover him so he can drive by you, who can drive by you if you cover him close enough because he's such a good shooter. You want a guy who wants the ball, who wants to be a killer, who desires to, you know, put a team on his back, but doesn't have to. Jokic will find you. The fun part about this is if you try to is if Porter works out the way that he should and becomes some sort of basketball aware Carmelo Anthony with some humility. You've got a guy that who can be your go-to scorer, who can score from every level of the court, who rebounds. Like Michael Porter Jr. was fine as a rebounder. He's a big man, but he's not boxed out like some other big wings. And you've got Jokic, who can shoot, has some of the best touch I've ever seen on a guy who looks as big and clumsy as he looks. His touch is unbelievable, and who can score, and who showed in the last, you know, 10 games or so of this year that he can put a team on his back, but doesn't have to. If he doesn't have to, he would rather pass the ball to Porter. The Nuggets are set up so that now you have a guy who can just throw dagger threes. You have a center who can pass the ball and score the ball and do a number of things. You have the three-level small forward who likes being a scorer. You're setting yourself up to be something like Boston's big three with Kevin Durant, who keeps coming up in Nikola Jokic comps if you look at offensive numbers. Let's not talk defense. If you're looking at offensive skill sets and variety in rebounding, scoring, and assists, the guy who pops up is Kevin Durant. Right. Not Kevin Durant, sorry, Kevin right. Garnett. I don't know what I was thinking there.
I was wondering. So, I was going to let you go with it, though. So.
No. Kevin Garnett. So KG. And, you know, that was his game. And then you put that next to a guy like Paul Pierce. Well, you know who fits a Paul Pierce role really well? But taller?
Michael Porter Jr.
Well, that would be Michael Porter Jr. You know who can be your killer from outside? Well, all of a sudden you've got Jamal Murray, you know, in the Ray Allen bracket.
Right.
You know, you're setting yourself up for that, and that's a really good look because before they didn't have anybody at small forward.
Right.
Torrey Craig was their best small forward, right. And that's not going to work in this sort of scenario.
No, yeah. Yeah, and even when they were looking at a guy like a Miles Bridges, you know, you're figuring, okay, that guy's going to be the fifth best starter on the team. And,
correct.
And you're like, and that's fine because
yes.
What he'll do, the role he'll play is something the Nuggets need. But, you know, like I said,
right.
Michael Porter Jr. might be, and this is no disrespect to Nikola Jokic, but Michael Porter Jr., if he works out, if he hits the ceiling, will probably be the best player on the Nuggets. So, like, you had to take that swing, in my ideas.
You had to
right?
take it.
Because if you have this chance it's a chance to, like, I fully believe it is a chance to make your team a title contender. If it works out.
If it works, your team is a title contender. If it doesn't work, you're not any worse off than you were if you had just blown
exactly.
the pick like
it's
you did
a
14th last year.
Pick. It's you want to always you always want to have successful draft picks, but you're going to blow picks. It happens. And so if you blow it, you blow it.
Yeah, yeah.
At least this time you blew it taking a chance, taking a swing at a home run instead of last year you
correct.
Blew it cuz you just kind of bungled the thing, right? So
exactly.
That's
it's a calculated risk. It's a risk, but it's a calculated risk. And if the calculation worked out, Denver's ceiling is massive.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Tell you what I'm going to do. Let's go ahead. Let's hit the break right now. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the other two Nuggets draft picks, Jared Vanderbilt and Thomas Welsh, a.k.a. Welshie. And then I think after that, we might get a quick thoughts on some other teams in the trade in the draft, maybe not. And then we will we got to get to Wilson Chandler, and he of course the day after the draft he opted in. I think you could have seen that coming a mile away if you thought he was gonna opt in. He was naturally gonna wait till after the draft to do it, but he opts in. I want to get to that and talk about how that impacts the Nuggets. So let's hit a break and we'll be right back.
We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, Give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work.
Everybody, welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. Zach Nikosh, Gordon Gross. We have spent the whole first half of the show talking Michael Porter Jr. and why not. One more thought on Michael Porter Jr. Gordon, I want to say, like, is he the... And I don't know, like, who is the last pick the Nuggets had to have this much excitement? Is it Emmanuel Mudiay? Is it Jamal Murray? Or do you have to look further back to, like, Carmelo? That's kind of where I get too, because you
now it could be because it's a surprise pick.
Right.
You know, at seven you were like, well, Mudiay is great, but I don't know anything about Mudiay.
Right.
Like, you know, at seven you took Jamal Murray and you're like, well, him or Buddy Hield will probably be about as good as each other eventually.
Right.
You know, when you're in the draft, you don't know they're middle of the draft kind of guys, and those were considered to be somewhat shallow drafts.
Right. Yep.
No, this is a deep draft, and you got maybe the best player in it if it works out. And so the amount of reaction around Denver is partly surprised that they could get a guy that's been talked about that boldly. I mean, the national media is going insane about Denver picked the best player,
right.
Denver this, Denver that. Here's Michael Porter in Denver. The last time they had a guy who commanded that kind of light in Denver
was Mello
when he was drafted.
That's a good point. I would agree. I think a little bit, not so much about Murray, because I think, like you said, with Murray, it was like, well, him or Hield. I think there was like an expectation he's really going to help their shooting. He could be, he could do a lot for them. But I don't think there was any expectation this guy might, this guy might be the absolute best player on the team.
Nobody thought he was the best player in that
draft.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Mudiay, a little bit. I think Mudiay was kind of similar in that he was this really highly touted high school prospect, and then for a various number of reasons, kind of slipped a little. But again, nobody was thinking Mudiay was the best player in that draft either. I mean, there was an outside shot you thought of, but it wasn't like this. So I agree. I think Michael Porter Jr. probably the most exciting pick the Nuggets have had since Carmelo Anthony. Let's move on to the other two guys, though. So let's start first with Jared Vanderbilt from Kentucky. Now, so Jared,
I am hyped for Jared Vanderbilt.
Not only are you hyped, though, it sounded like from everything that I've heard, rumors and whispers and whatnot, the Nuggets, they do this almost every year in the second round. They pick a guy, and it was a couple years ago, it was actually first round, it was Wancho, but they find a guy and they're like, this is the guy we want, this is the guy that we know we have to have, we're going to go out and get him. This year it's Jared Vanderbilt that seemed like they were very, very high on him, very excited. Of course, Vanderbilt, like Porter, dealing with an injury, a foot injury, right? He was, he actually came to his press conference on a cart, which is always a little scary to see, but, typical for a person who goes through a foot or ankle surgery to be on a cart for a while. So, all right, Gordon, let me know why you're so high on Jared Vanderbilt.
Look, first off, all the draft models love Jared Vanderbilt, like, which is hilarious to me because he only played, 14 games in college. But his rebounding is insanely off the charts. He doesn't look like he's a really thick guy. He's a very rangy four. But because he's a rangy four, that guy can play defense. He plays perimeter defense. He can play interior defense. He's a tough kid. He can block shots. He can grab rebounds. He can lead the break. The guy played point forward in high school. He knows how to pass. He passes in traffic. He pays attention. Rather than dunking, he may give a pass for a layup. He fits perfectly in Denver as a guy who – he doesn't have a shot, like, but his shot's not broken. Right. You could see him in basketball camps, you know, hitting long-distance shots. If you give him a couple of years – if you give him, you know, the year to recover from the foot problem and the year to get his shot together, he could be an unbelievably great pick.
Right.
I mean, the Nuggets could have two of the top 10 players in this draft that they just picked up. I adore Vanderbilt. I love the way he plays defense. He's a high motor. If you like the way Kenneth Faried plays with his motor, you will love – that Vanderbilt's your guy, except Vanderbilt can also play defense and pass.
I've seen that too. A lot of people are like, oh, why are we, you know, Jared Vanderbilt, it's just another Kenneth Free. But the difference is Jared Vanderbilt could be a very good defender. Whereas we know
everything that Jokic is not. He can move his feet on the perimeter. He can go out there and defend small forwards, guards. He doesn't care.
Right.
Like, you know, he probably can't hold up against point guards, but he will get out there to block a shot. You know, those are the things that he is great at. And again, like I said, has no problem leading the break, has no problem finishing the break. Is happy to hang out in a short corner the way that the Nuggets love Faried to. Jared Vanderbilt is – I can absolutely understand why the Nuggets wanted him. Just one of those players, again, if it works out, you locked down your power forward defensive position.
Right, right.
Is he going to start? Well, he could, because the Nuggets, now that they have Porter with all the shots he's going to take, and Murray with all the shots he's going to take, and Gary Harris with the shots he's going to take, and Jokic needing to take more shots, you at least need one guy who doesn't need to shoot.
Yep.
If he can shoot, that's great. But you need somebody who is not like, I'm going to put up 15 shots a game, because he's not going to get them. Well, Jared Vanderbilt wants to do everything else. Let's pass, let's dunk, let's finish, let's defend, let's block, you know. And if I'm wide open for a three, I'll probably take it. You know, if I'm wide open from the free throw stripe, I'll probably be like, I'll chuck it up.
He's got the perfect guy to learn from now with Paul Millsap in tow, right? Like,
that's exactly right.
That's a guy who Millsap's going to show him, because, you know, Vanderbilt's 6'9". He's not overwhelmingly tall.
Correct.
But Millsap's going to be like, look, dude, I'm 6'9", too. And, you know, I can show you how you can be an elite defender in the NBA. Just based off of everything else you can do. And you look at pictures of Vanderbilt, and it's like, I would not want to play that guy one-on-one. Like, I would not want him defending me. That would be a scary proposition. And then
Michael Porter Jr. said that the guy he didn't want to play in the basketball camps was Jared Vanderbilt.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
He said, that guy irritates me, basically. Right.
He's a guy who's – and who knows? Maybe he's saying that because he knows the right thing to say, right?
Right. Yeah.
But still, yeah, I like the pick a lot. I think, again, it's another risk kind of reward proposal, because he has – I mean, you know, he had a foot and an ankle injury. So you wonder how – how well he'll come back. But again, another player that you have time. I mean, Vanderbilt, especially being a second round pick, the Nuggets might, in all likelihood, probably get him on a two way deal. And
I'm not sure if they will. Like, it's, I would honestly expect them to try to lock him up to a longer term deal, since they know the first year is probably just going to be rehab and a little G League time.
That's true. So do you think
Vanderbilt more than Porter, I think, is going to stick
because
to
they probably want to keep him up at the NBA level with their medical staff.
Yes, correct.
That makes sense.
Yeah, his foot injury, he probably won't even be able to play till December, as opposed to Porter, who should be able to practice all the time. You won't be talking about him getting real court time until the season has started. Vanderbilt, I mean. And so you're going to want to take it slow with him. You're going to need him to be able to fully recover from his foot injury. You don't mess around with broken feet in the NBA. Like, guys who've missed time, now's where you're talking about getting to get back into a sort of Embiid situation, where you let your big man's foot heal up completely, and then you talk about what he's going to do. So, yeah, I don't expect Vanderbilt to do much this year, certainly not in the NBA. If it's anything, it'll be rehab in the G League. like second half of the G League season, maybe. Right. But no, this is a guy I would expect them to sign to a longer than 2 year standard contract,
right?
And get him for something like Jokic had, where you give him like a, you know, back of the first round 4 year, you know, $1 million or $2 million a year kind of deal. Yep.
I could see that. The issue the Nuggets will have is just roster space. They have now two because they had three open roster spots heading into the offseason with Will Barton, Devin Harris, and Richard Jefferson being free agents. Now Michael Porter Jr. obviously takes one of those spots. So you have two spots available. Well, what do you want to do with Torrey Craig, who did not count for one of your main roster spots because he was on a two-way contract? Right. Do you want to try and... everything is indicated that the Nuggets want to bring Will Barton back. So there's your two other spots right there if you go that direction and now you're out. So, but...
They have to move players. I'm not going to lie to you. They need to move players and not take players back. They need some two-for-one deals. They need to include a draft pick. They have got to free up probably three spots.
To free up at least about $15 million as well, especially if they plan on re-signing Will Barton.
Exactly. No, they have some work that they have to do. Like, it is, and honestly, for their two way contracts, they actually added Kendrick Williams to their summer league roster. If you've never seen him play, he's an older player. He's like, I think 24. I don't care. Torrey Craig was 26 and he was just fine. Like, Kendrick Williams is the kind of player that you want in your summer league squad because he can step in. He's played a bunch. He's seen everything in college. And you can get him to understand his role playing in the pros. So I would expect, if I'm trying to predict, I would say Welch gets one of the two ways, and Kendrick Williams gets the other one. And so you're going to need real roster spots for players like Monte Morris. You're going to need them for Vanderbilt. So you need to move some guys, and they didn't do it on draft day. And I get it. Because you had this really strange scenario happen where you could get two huge upside guys, and so you took it. And I love that they took it rather than worrying about money. Now's your time to worry about slots and money. You have to go clear out some stuff.
Right. Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And it's more about even the slots right now than it is the money, because you've got until the end of the season to get under that luxury tax line. So you can wait till the trade deadline and try and move some of your expiring deals. To do to accomplish that, but you've got to free up the slots now. So you're kind of hamstrung there, which will be interesting to see how they navigate that. Real quick, Gordon, any thoughts on Thomas Welch?
He looks like a Zeller brother, and I'm not sure that he's going to be more than an 8 minutes off the bench kind of guy. But Denver could use an 8 to 10 minute off the bench center.
Absolutely.
So, like, in at least a couple of years, they could. So we'll see how that winds up going. But yeah, he's one of those guys that you just see how he develops. Like, he didn't have a 3-point shot until 12 months ago. Right. So now and then he was fine with it this year. So let's see what he's got. Let's see what kind of development he's looking at. And maybe he can be, you know, an off-bench stretch five that helps you out in certain situations.
His ceiling is Nikola Jokic's backup. I mean, that's what you're hoping he becomes.
Yes, that is
his ceiling. The guy who you can pay less than $14 million to play 12 to 15 minutes a game backing up Nikola Jokic. That's what you're hoping.
That's what you want. Yeah.
And it works out with the timeline with where Mason Plumlee's contract is at. He's got two more years on his deal. Ugh. But, by that time you would say, okay, hopefully, if it's going to work out with Thomas Welch in three seasons from now, you're hoping that's when he's cracked your rotation. So it works out perfect. All right, let's move on from the draft now to the last topic I want to get to of the show, which is, of course, so we get the news yesterday. Wilson Chandler opts in. I was one of the people who was kind of 50-50 on it. I thought I honestly question how much Wilson Chandler really wants to stay in Denver when it seems obviously clear that he would be coming back for one season, especially after they draft Michael Porter Jr. That being said, nobody else is going to pay him $12+ million. A season. So my thought was, well, if he can lock in a 2-3 year deal at $8 million, you know, at a mid-level exception kind of money, he still ends up guaranteeing himself more money than what he's getting from the Nuggets. And at age 32, that's probably more important, especially a guy who has had hip issues in the past. He doesn't go that way, though. Like I said, I thought it was 50-50. He ends up opting in. I did think if he was going to do it, he would, of course, wait till after the draft because, absolutely, you know, then...
Yeah,
if the Nuggets had a trade for him, they would have to get him to clear it first. Otherwise, he could just opt out. So it makes perfect sense that he does it yesterday. He probably had decided that he was going to opt in several weeks ago and then just, you know, kept that essentially what would be a no-trade clause during the draft. So that's why he waits to opt in until yesterday. This puts the pressure on the Nuggets, especially if they want to re-sign Will Barton, because if you re-sign Will Barton with Wilson Chandler, which they can do, they have Will Barton's bird rights, they're not you can re-sign a guy,
it is logistically
right?
possible.
You can re-sign a guy with his bird rights and not be subject to the tax apron, but if they do that, Their total bill, salaries and luxury tax, will exceed $200 million. So essentially double. It'll be more than double what the salary cap is. That's a tough pill to swallow for a team that's not the Golden State Warriors. What do the Nuggets got to do? I mean, is it just as simple as, like, do we now, okay, now we pay a first rounder to get rid of Kenneth Faried, or pay a second rounder or a swap of firsts to get rid of, to move on from Darrell Arthur? I mean, what's the plan here?
That's what I would expect, is I would expect Denver now, especially if they decide they want to re-sign Will Barton. I think Will's a tough fit with Michael Porter. If you believe that Porter's going to be healthy and play the three next year, because it squeezes your potential room for Barton, who A, wants to be a starter. He's expressed right. that. And B, his positions are point guard, are guard and forward. Well, you're clogging that up, because if he's not going to be your point guard, and I don't think he should be off the bench, then he needs to play the two. Well, the person playing the two off the bench is either Murray or Harris next to a point guard off the bench. Right. You know, so now you're looking at, okay, well, now he needs to play the three. Okay, well, at the three, you're going to need a defender, because Porter Jr. is many things, but he's not a defender yet. You will need somebody who can defend the three. Well, that's not Will Barton. Right. So now you're squeezing your Will Barton room and your Will Barton role, and that's not what he's looking for if he's going to get paid. But if they really want him back, and they've decided this is something we just have to have Will Barton. And again, I know why. Will's a great guy. He's a great player.
He wants to be in Denver.
He loves Denver, and it's hard for Denver to find players who want to be in Denver. Although I would think it would be easier once you have Jokic and Porter and all this working out. But if they decide they need to do that, and then they have to, in order to move somebody like Wilson Chandler or Kenneth Faried, you're going to have to include picks. I expect next year's first to go with Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, like lottery protected. I would expect they put that protection.
Lottery protected, like, you know, maybe even, you know, it could be top 20 protected. I don't know. But like, yeah, I would expect that pick to go, because they are planning on being a 50-win team next year. And they don't need the number 22nd pick in the draft as much as they need to not pay $30 million, you know, extra in luxury tax and just ridiculousness. Just so I expect to move the first. I expect to move perhaps Malik Beasley to get off of Darrell Arthur.
Right.
Darrell's contract's not that big.
Or to get off a guy like Wilson Chandler, because Wilson Chandler, granted, he's owed $12 million, but Wilson Chandler can start. You know,
he can still play.
Exactly. And Kenneth Faried can still play, but there's more question there with Faried. You're like, well, I don't know where this guy would fit. You know, and even still, you're probably like, okay, this is a guy off the bench, where there are teams out there who they've got a hole at small forward. They could look at Wilson Chandler and be like, yeah, it's a little expensive, but it's not that expensive for a starting small forward. And Wilson Chandler, you know, can start for your team. We saw, especially after the trade deadline last year, we saw what Wilson Chandler can do as a starting small forward. Like, he's perfectly capable of doing that role. So I don't know that you have to attach a big pick to get off of him as you do like a Kenneth Faried.
Agreed. I would expect to move Faried, because Faried's never getting time.
Oh yeah, you've Faried is got done to with move. Denver. And we were talking about you can wait till the trade deadline. You don't want that situation to become toxic. So
you cannot wait for the trade deadline for Faried specifically. Right. You have to move him this year. And I mean, this summer, you cannot go into the season with Kenneth Faried still not getting any playing
time. Still not showing up on the bench, still not there at media day. Yeah, the whole fiasco of last year, you don't really want to do it again.
No, you cannot do that. Not with all these young players around, not with the situation that you're setting yourself up for. If Wilson Chandler wants to opt in, personally for me, Wilson Chandler opting in is actually kind of perfect for timing in the fact that he'll be here for this year and Michael Porter Jr. can work out with him and learn from him. They're both vegan, by the way. So like Wilson Chandler can help explain to him how you keep your frame correct with a vegan diet.
One of the best vegan restaurants in Denver are.
Yeah, to show each other around. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with having Wilson Chandler as your as your mentor. He may not ever talk to you, but you know,
or he may talk to you about weird off the wall stuff, not really basketball, but
right. But that way, and then after this year, Wilson Chandler would leave. Michael Porter Jr. would have the starting role, and you just need a backup small forward. And you're not paying Will Barton, $14 million a year.
Yeah, to be your backup. Yeah, I say, and that's the thing. The interesting part of it is because with Will Barton, I mean, they could still bring back Will Barton if you can get off of Faried and Darrell Arthur. You can bring back Will Barton. That's $20 million. So you're even if you bring back for Will Barton for $14 million, which would be an overpay. I think you go back. If it's me, I go back to Will Barton with the same deal I had for him at the beginning of the season, 10.5. You know, a year.
The 4 years, 40? Do you go 40 or three?
I'd try and go for three, but man, the thing that sucks about it is, like, I want Will Barton to get paid, dude. Like, he's paid his dues. He has been on shitty contracts his entire career.
For his whole career, he needs to get money.
Right.
That guy deserves to be paid. Some of the people in this league making money are way worse players than Will
and
Barton.
Have been
go
for several
get your
seasons.
Money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. But you could still save anywhere from $8 to $10 million this year if you can get off of Faried and Arthur, and you re-sign Will Barton for $10-12 million, whatever it is. I'm okay with that. The thing though, like you said, is because you have Porter now, it makes it a little bit tricky because if Porter works out, Will Barton, a guy who wants to start, a guy who could start for a lot of teams, probably not going to ever start for the Nuggets. You know, so. That's and you're going to pay him in excess of $10 million to come off the bench. Now, granted, he's still a guy who will get 25, 30 minutes a game off the bench.
Right.
But it's a trickier situation. It's not ideal. And you worry that it's another Mason Plumlee situation all over again.
And it forces you to be really, really inventive with your rotations.
Right.
And if there's one complaint that I have about Michael Malone, it's the fact – it's the fact that his rotations leave a lot to be desired.
So you have more than one complaint about
Michael. And part of that is
– we won't get into that.
Well, I have more than one, but that's – that
that's
would be
for
one.
Another show.
Right. I don't think – he likes his rotations to be small and well understood.
Right.
And he's not a fan of, well, if this guy's on the court, I have to move this other guy off with him in concert. I can't leave this guy in the court for more than 2 minutes without that other guy. Right. He doesn't like a bunch of if-thens. He's like, look, I want my starters. I want my rotation. I want my stuff to work the way I want it to work. And Will Barton needing to play with some people, without some people, kind of has the ball in his hands, but maybe he could play off ball. There's no need for that kind of gray area with a team as deep as Denver. Denver's depth was useless last year, other than in injury return in injury, you know, terms, because they stopped playing half of the team, even though half of the team was NBA worthy and could get on the court.
Right.
It doesn't do you any good to stock your team, 14 deep if you're only going to have an 8-man rotation.
Yeah, and
I mean, Trey Wiles couldn't get on the court in the last game of the season.
Right.
And Trey Wiles was a huge part of this team.
Right.
But you've got to be really careful if you're going to stack your team with a bunch of talent that you're going to pay. You're going to give them money, but you're not going to give them playing time. Right. Especially because if you pay Will Barton, you need to trade Trey Wiles immediately because you're not going to have money for Trey Wiles.
Exactly. Yeah, because if you pay Will Barton, well, you got to get ready to pay Jamal Murray here coming up. And then where do you find money for Trey Lyles this offseason? You don't, unless you want to cut ties with Paul Millsap, which I mean, it would seem silly. Now maybe they can work out a renegotiated deal where they're not paying Paul $30 million and you free up some space that way, but
Right.
It's not, you know, nothing like that's guaranteed. You know what's interesting, though? I don't necessarily know that I hang on to Wilson Chandler at this point. I honestly would start making calls because, like I said, I think he'll cost you the least to get off of his contract.
Sure.
And you could start – granted, you're going to be – your defense is going to be awful again this year. And I think they're headed that direction no matter what this year.
Well, if they don't resign Torrey Craig, they're really heading that direction.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, you could – if you get off Wilson Chandler, you can re-sign Will Barton. You also got to get off Fareed for reasons we said. Now you're talking about saving some serious money. You really don't have a cap issue. And you can start Will Barton at small forward. Like I said, your defense is going to be awful. But you could do it until – and then next year, you know, you say, okay, well, where's Michael Porter Jr. at? Now let's maybe he takes Will Barton's spot. Now he's the starter. Will Barton goes back to being that sixth man role.
Right.
It's tough.
No, it makes sense, man. But you can't have both.
Right. Yeah, you can't.
Either have to not sign Barton or you have to get off of Chandler. Mm-hmm. And you also have to get off of Fareed. Mm-hmm. And if you can get off of Darrell Arthur, that would also be great. Yeah. So there's you have a bunch of pieces that are going to have to move. Like I said, you might have to move Beasley. You might have to move Wiles because you can't re-sign Wiles next year, perhaps, when he deserves a raise. And he also deserves to get paid for being a good player.
Absolutely.
So you have draft picks in the future. You have a lot of these young players who are still on rookie deals. And I expect to pair a bunch of this stuff with some of these expirings to clear the books so you don't eat an $80 million cap hit and so that you don't run out of room for players who are actually going to play for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a tough scenario. I mean, no matter where you slice it, just because, like you said, you really can't keep both. The one way you could do it is if you're like, all right, we're gonna shut down Porter, we're gonna redshirt him his entire first year, and we're gonna use Malik Beasley to get off of a contract. Then you kind of carve out that same shooting guard, small forward role off the bench for Will Barton. But the problem is you probably want to re-sign Torrey Craig. And so he kind of would play that same role. Obviously, he brings something totally different to the court, but he's still going to be your shooting guard, small forward off the bench. So then you're talking about playing Will Barton as your backup point guard, which I think we know is not ideal.
I keep trying to hope they don't do that. Like I said, there's a lot of decisions. The decisions that the Nuggets made during this draft were important. Right. The decisions they're going to make the rest of this free agency period and trading are just as vital for restructuring this offense and making sure that you have the right players going forward who can contribute to your team and who aren't just sitting on the bench waving towels.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know what? We are out of time here, Gordon. So we got through it. Gordon is at GMoneyNugs on Twitter. I am at Zach Mikosh. Of course, follow us on at Denver Stiffs, at NBN-Radio. Make sure you guys are checking out the Nothing But Net Radio app or Nothing But Net Radio channel on the Dash Radio app. You can obviously get that on your phone. Also play in your car. All kinds of great NBA and WNBA specific content, and then even cool music in between team specific shows like ours. So make sure you're checking that out. Denver Stiffs on Instagram at The Denver Stiffs. Follow us on Facebook. Give us a like. Make sure you're checking out Brendan Vogt. He's there every Monday answering your guys' Denver Nuggets questions only on Facebook Live. So make sure you're checking that out. If you are listening to the podcast version of this, why aren't you listening to Nothing But Net Radio for all the reasons I said? But if you are, please subscribe and leave a rating. We would appreciate it. All right, Gordon. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, good times, man. And today was a good day with the draft this week, and now we'll over some other good days soon.
Some hand-wringing for the free agency period.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody, we will talk to you next week.